Log Talk Radio.
It's a song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you.
This is Pastor Kim coming to you from Vision of Hope Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you on this Wednesday evening for our weekly Bible study. I thank God for you and for your desire to get the word during the week, not just on Sundays, but just to come together and get the word during the week. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. So I thank God again for you. I'm definitely not going to be before you long. I just want to, as we approach this holiday, we've got a lot of things going on in the month of February. Of course, it's Black History Month, and then also it's Valentine's weekend coming up. So, you know, there are a lot of things to celebrate for this this season. And we're doing a little Black History program at the end of the month. And so we're excited about that. And we're also starting a food pantry beginning on the fourth Sunday. So God is doing some great things, and I'm just continually looking forward to all the things that he's going to do. My little Black History blurb for this week, I had shared it with some of my students, who is Lonnie Johnson. You know, we always talk about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King, and of course I love all of them. They paved the way for all of us. But there are so many things that African Americans have done that we have no idea. Lonnie Johnson, if you've ever been a kid and played with the Super Soaker water gun, he is the person who created and patented the Super Soaker water gun. He used to work for NASA, and he was trying to come up with a type of gun that shot a lot of firepower. He's a scientist, and he was experimenting in his bathroom with water, and it became, the device that he was using was so powerful, he thought to himself, this could be a perfect water gun. And the only water guns prior to that were the ones like in the dollar store, the little big ones. So needless to say, it took him 7 years to get it accepted, have a company, a toy company accepted, and Laramie Toy Company accepted it in the 80s. And without advertising, he said they just put it on the market, and he became a millionaire. They call him the $200 million man from creating the Super Soaker, and he just gets about 10% or less in royalty. So that's a lot of Super Soakers. When they first put it out, if you look it up on YouTube, it says it sold over a billion. So over a billion guns. So that's a good blessing, amen? There's something out there. There's a purpose and a plan for all of us. And we just have no idea what it is. But we thank God for Lonnie Johnson creating the Super Soaker. We're going to the book of Corinthians, the 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. And, of course, that is the love chapter. We thank God that's the love chapter. And so since we're talking about love, And Valentine, let's look at what the Bible says about love, because, everybody loves to be in love. Everybody loves everything about love. But after, as they say, after the honeymoon is over, we really need to know what love is. And then even loving our sisters and brothers, loved ones, family members, it's just not an easy thing to do. If you look at it according to the Bible, it's something that has to be practiced. So 1 Corinthians chapter says, if I speak in the tongues of men and or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. That's deep right there. If I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I myself, that's what the scripture is saying, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Well, it seems to me that if you're doing all of that, if you're giving your everything that you own, and if you're giving over your body for hardship, that you would only do it out of love. And this scripture clearly says if you're doing it so that you can boast, you've gained nothing. Help us today, Lord. So let's look at verse 4 and see what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. That means it doesn't want what someone else has. It does not boast. Love doesn't boast about what it has. You know, I heard T.D. Jakes say that, you know, nowadays we are known or want to be known by what we consume, not what we produce. And I thought that was a powerful word, because everybody wants to be known by what they consume, what they have, what they wear, how many. How much, what kind of car, what kind of house, what kind of bag. Oh, you have a Louis Vuitton. Oh, you have a Michael Kors. And this is all consumption. And it's really, 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 it can be really sad, because we're so overwhelmed by what we have that we're losing out on the basics. You know, and I'm just going to say this with caution. You know, I have students that come in with iPhones and Jordans and coats and, you know, mainly those sneakers and everything. But then, Lord have mercy, when I turn my back, they're still in the AAA batteries out of the calculators. And I'm like, you know, this is not good. This is not good. Well, I'm definitely off task today, so help me, Holy Ghost, to stay on task. The topic is love. I'm starting again at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Woo, help us today, Holy Ghost. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And that's one of the things that really gets me, particularly in the church. Anytime somebody, and I'm saying this again with caution, but anytime that somebody wants to embarrass you, try to expose you, do all of that in public in the name of the church and in the name of God and in the name of love, we have to be careful of that. Because that's not a biblical way. The Lord does say he chastens those whom he loves. He does say if you do something openly, then you are to get an open rebuke so that others will be aware. But those are prerequisites. Those are things that have happened prior to someone rebuking you, for example. But when a prophet comes along and wants to say all of these things about people, and they don't, number one, don't know the person, and number two, are saying things to embarrass somebody, the Holy Ghost does not embarrass. I just don't see it, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. The Holy Ghost will put you on the spot personally. He'll deal with you personally, but embarrass you publicly. I take issue with that. I know somebody's talking about, well, Ananias and Sapphira was embarrassed. Well, they lied. They publicly lied to the Holy Ghost, and so they went beyond embarrassed. They both died. So help us today. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, talking about how, you know, when the Lord makes your enemy your footstool, you feel sorry for them. And it was your enemy. The Lord can deal with somebody so that that same person that was against you and might even still be against you, you're looking at them saying, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. Love, verse 7, it always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Then he goes on to say, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, there are so many people in this world today who just do not feel loved. Sometimes you have people who feel like no one cares about them, no one wants them, people don't like them, and a lot of times around holidays it becomes more and more crucial because, you know, people may not have a Valentine. They may not, you know, have anybody to share a holiday with. Well, you know, you might want to share a holiday. You may not have to be lovey-dovey. You might want to share a holiday with a friend, with a family member. You know, my daughter and I, we're sharing the holiday together. So you might not always have to spend it with the traditional, you know, Valentine. But, you know, do something nice for somebody else. And I often think about how many people, let's not even talk about hospitals, or institutions. Let's talk about nursing homes because people are living longer. How many people are in nursing homes or, you know, those homes where you're older but you have the freedom to come and go? You know, sometimes people have no one to visit. Children grow up. They don't call. They don't check in. They've moved to another state. And so those are all types of things that can leave people feeling lonely and without hope and without love. So it is so important to show love and kindness to people. I just can't stress that enough. And when we look at the Lord himself, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. He gave a part of himself. And he gave them so that we would have the right to be reconciled back to him. He gave him full of grace and mercy for our lives. You know, we no longer have to struggle with sin. We just have to ask for forgiveness and freely go to the throne of grace to find that grace will help us in our time of need. That's why I can't understand hypocrites and backsliders. Because, and don't get me wrong, I've been there. But we can boldly go to the throne of grace to find that grace will help us in the time of need. You know, I grew up in a time where if you wasn't living right, it wasn't even no point in coming to church because the mothers and the saints, they was going to point you out. Nowadays, more than half the people in the church, I ain't even going to say that, all the people in the church got something to work on from the pulpit to the door. You want to see me get angry? Let somebody try to flaunt their righteousness around me. Woo! Jesus, the Bible said all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Okay? Our faith is given to us. It's a measure of faith that's given to us. Our righteousness is given to us. It is not our righteousness. It is the righteousness of God, lest any man could boast. Don't flaunt your righteousness around me. Don't flaunt your religion. Because we are all standing by the grace and the mercy of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful. If nobody gives me a piece of candy or a flower or anything, I'm grateful for the love and the mercy of my Savior. And I'm happy about that. I'm eternally grateful. Because as the scripture says, I didn't choose him. He chose me. So I don't want anybody to be sad around the holiday. I don't want anybody to be like, well, I don't have anybody to give me any flowers or no one to love me or anything like that. Jesus loves you. He absolutely loves you. And I'm not one of those people, I'm going to take a stretch here. I'm not going to call anybody names, but I'm not one of those, you know, however you want to say, crazy folks. I don't like to use that word. But I'm not one of these folks to say, oh, Jesus is my boyfriend. Jesus is my husband. No. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. Let's keep spiritual where it's supposed to be. He's not my husband, not my boyfriend, but he loves me, cares about me. He protects me. He shields me. If he, as the old folks used to say, if he doesn't do another thing, he's done enough already. And so I'm grateful for that. I can put it all in perspective. I can put it all in perspective. No, I may not have somebody to bring me a flower or a piece of candy, but I have Jesus. He's on my side. He said he'll never leave me or forsake me. And when the candy is gone and when the flowers are withered and when the husband is gone or the boyfriend has gotten upset or the girlfriend left you for somebody else, Jesus is right there. Oh, yes, he is. He is right there. He is our comforter. He will never leave us or forsake us. He'll never let anybody pluck us out of his hand. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for this love walk. And I tell you, it's not an easy walk. It's not an easy walk. But one of the main things, before I close, one of the main things we have to do is we have to learn how to love ourselves. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And many of us do not know how to love ourselves. You can't even begin to love anybody else if you don't love yourself. You just can't begin to do it. And it's hard. Sometimes we love others through our lack of love for ourselves, and we get disappointed. But you have to love yourself. You have to have levels of respect, filters, boundaries, even for yourself. And when you do that for yourself, that causes people to have a level of respect, filters, boundaries towards you. And I know I've gotten a little off task, but you know what? I'm going where the Lord leads me. Love yourself. It's okay to love yourself. And in loving yourself, it's okay to say no sometimes. It's okay to say no. Sometimes we as Christians, we don't like to say no. We don't, you know, we don't like to disappoint people. Well, we're not God. We're not God. I told somebody not too long ago, I don't have a savior complex. I'm not trying to be everybody's savior. I do what I can. I serve. I love the Lord. I serve God. I serve his people. But I do have boundaries. And I'm okay with that because you can wear yourself thin. You can become burnt out. Ask me how I know. You can have countless people take advantage of you, take your kindness as weakness. So even though we see in the book of Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't boast. That's talking about you and your inner self. It's patient, it's kind. It's your attitude, the things that you're working on for you. Okay? But you have to love yourself. You have to love yourself. You absolutely have to love yourself. I know somebody might have a question. I see a question already, so I'm going to let you jump right in. Jump right in. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to maneuver this. Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm listening to your sermon, and you know what? Wow, you blessed me again.
Well, bless God.
You're talking about how people can flaunt their religion. It's not really... Okay. It's not really... Thank you, ma'am. You too. It's not really cool, like you said, because I know when I was in a former church, there's a lot of leadership that did that. You know, and the head leader at that time, he's resigned from that church, would not admit he made a mistake. He could, like, it's going to kill him. And when, oh my God, I'm trying to catch my breath because I'm running to work. But I remember one incident where one of his friends, a so-called senator, downplayed my, at the time my fiance in the church. That's some fighting, them some fighting words. I'm country. Them some fighting words. And it was just by the grace of God that we were in church because he was going to get knocked the hell out that day. And when I told him about it offline on Facebook by himself, he went and told the pastor. Like I said, they're good friends. Next Sunday, the pastor going to preach about constructive criticism and how we can't take it. Look directly at me. I said, oh, no, this Negro did not try to call me out from this congregation. And that was the last time that we ever been in that church. But my point is this. I'm like you. If you think you're holding them down, you're big and bad, you're almighty, this or almighty, that, bishop so-and-so or preacher so-and-so, get away from me. Because I'm with folks who I'm around who've done dirt, have sinned. When Peter was asked the question by Jesus, do you love me 3 times? That's because he denied Christ 3 times. Not to get on his nerves, but to affirm him of my love for you, Peter, has not gone anywhere. And I am so thankful. I just said this about an hour ago. I am thankful to God for not leaving me when I act the fool against other folks who think they're holier than thou. They're almighty righteous. You know, Deacon can't do no wrong. You know, and it's just crazy. God can't do no wrong. I like that. And God is telling us that you need to humble yourself. And I will exhaust you. But some people who are so high and mighty in the church world, you're going to fall. Best believe, you're going to fall. And when you fall, come down hard. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of
God.
That's my word for the day.
All right. Well, thank God for you. And we have seen some things, you know, even in the church, you know, where people have been humble. So we just have to continue to pray for them. Because one thing Paul said, you know, he said, there go I, but for the grace of God. And so we just, you know, we have to remember, you know, let me get that right. Paul was saying, what was that scripture he said? He prayed that he himself would not be a castaway. So it definitely means the same thing. There go I, but for the grace of God. But he was praying, you know, when he saw someone in sin. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, was praying when he saw someone in sin that he himself would not succumb. So, and even he had a thorn in the flesh, and God told him, look, my grace is sufficient for you. And God told him, you know, I don't want you to exalt yourself above measure. So, you know, you're just going to have to walk with that thing. So that meant that Paul, you know, and I'm walking lightly, treading lightly, you know, he knew Paul's personality. So he would not withdraw that thorn in the flesh. My God. And, you know, you can see that so many times, you know, when people are going through some things or they're high and quote unquote high and mighty, and it just seems like God just takes a finger and just, you know, rubs it across, you know, and just, it just, something just changes their life forever. You know, I think about Michael Jackson, where he had that that disease, alopecia, I believe it is. And, you know, he had all of that money, all of that fame, all of that talent. He had all of that. And none of that could buy skin color lining up. Just a fingerprint, just a touch. He had alopecia, and that just changed his whole personality, his whole life, everything. No money, nothing could do anything about that. So, you know, we have to continue to pray for others. When you know who you are in Christ, just love on people. Just love on them and look at them and say, God bless them. When you know who you are from the pulpit to the door, because I tell people in a minute, I'm not perfect, but the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophet no harm, I will handle the man of God. So he's going to handle those people who are in hot places. And look at David, because David has so much respect. And this keeps me in perspective when I see some preacher knuckleheads. David has so much respect for Saul, who God rejected, Saul who taught David how to be a king. Saul who tried to kill David, he had so much respect. He said, you ought to respect the anointing that was once on him, Jesus of Nazareth. So we have to just begin to pray for folks. That is the key in this 2015, pray for folks, because judgment comes quickly. You know, it's coming quicker and quicker. You know, as soon as we pass judgment, put our mouth on, you know, I'm not guilt-free, because I was born and raised in church, and I used to say things like, well, I don't understand how somebody could do that. I don't understand how somebody could live like that, because I was born and raised in church. Well, lo and behold, when I got out here in this world and it started smacking me upside the head and I started struggling, then the Lord was showing me, oh, you didn't know? Now you do. And just like they had to make a decision, you got to make one now. You got to do right regardless. So we just have to learn how to pray for folk. Continue to pray for people. I thank God for the book of Corinthians teaching us about love, having patience. I always say I give people enough room to hang themselves, you know. But just remember, there are all types of personalities in the body of Christ. That's why we have fivefold ministry. An apostle, he doesn't have time for a lot of nonsense. So you won't see an apostle a lot of times with a lot of patience. Look, Paul said, Paul was the chief apostle. Paul said, turn their flesh over to the devil so that their soul might be saved. Now, pastors will have more patience. My time is up. I've got 30 seconds left. I love you with the love of the Lord. I thank God we've had an awesome time this evening. Read that book of 1 Corinthians 13 chapter about love. And may the Lord richly, richly bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.